like Zoe mama, I go
relentless.
What up, Zoe?
Relentless.
What up, Zoe?
You know what it is.
You know, someone said you need to be more on time with your bombs.
With my bombs? Who said that?
I'm not saying it.
There's so much. It's someone I know, eh?
I don't know. All I know is feedback we received is that whoever
I need to be better at my bomb timing.
You need to be better at your bomb timing.
You're looking at me like more than one person said this. More than one person said this?
I don't know if it's more. All I'm saying is that was just feedback received. And I want to let people know that when we receive their feedback, we take it seriously. See, what did you just do there?
A bomb.
Well, did you generally think that was timed properly?
How about you do the bombs?
I'm not doing the bombs. It's fine. No, that's you. That's all you. I'm just giving you constructive criticism.
You are?
Oh, I just spilled your wine. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm giving you constructive. Exactly. I'm giving you constructive criticism that I received.
Well, appreciate the criticism. I'll be better at the bombs. I'm not fucking DJ Funkmaster Flex, but you know, we do our best here at the Relentless Diaries.
We do our best.
How you doing, Zoe?
Cheers. I'm good.
See you.
Happy Tuesday. Well, it'll be Wednesday when this drops, but happy Tuesday today.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Wednesday to the listeners.
Exactly.
How's your last 2 weeks been? What'd you get up to?
Last 2 weeks have been a lot, I would say. Definitely been reading our TikTok comments. Mm. Definitely been watching our YouTube and our YouTube comments. And, you know, I think a part of our job as up-and-coming successful podcasters is we're always going to ruffle some feathers. You know, we're never going to appeal to everybody.
You're not doing anything that's if you're...
Right? That's what the beauty of podcasting is, right? You're never going to appeal to everybody. But we do have a target audience, and those people do fuck with us and agree with us and follow us and all that stuff. But, you know, there's still just people who just don't get it, unfortunately. And I expect that. Mm. But it's really just weird seeing people just comment like such ignorant, crazy things. And before I used to think that like Twitter is bad and like people on Twitter had no filter.
Yes, I'm realizing
but that. If you've ever gone through like TikTok comments, I'll actually talk about a TikTok that I found recently and I was crying at the comments for like 3 days straight.
Yeah.
But TikTok, people on TikTok are fucking mean.
Yeah, they
like, obviously I love you guys for supporting us, like people who follow us and like big us up and like agree with us, obviously it's all love, but like some people who like try to come for me in my opinion, I'm like, bitch, hold on, you're really not getting whatever I'm saying. And I'm really not gonna like our following, before I used to go back and forth in the comments, but our following just keeps steadily growing.
It
got to the point where I can't keep up with it. Like, we get literally new followers every single day by like the hundreds, and it's like I can't keep going back and forth with ignorant, a lot of the time ignorant black men in our fucking comments. I can't.
There's a type that's in our comments.
I think first,
before we really divulge into the nastiness that people be doing and spreading in our comment section,
whenever
there is some, like, you know, opposition or someone saying something wild and just clearly you missed the point here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like there's a section of the comments that are like firing back at these people. It's almost like we don't need to, you know, it's like, so our supporters, our listeners really appreciate that. But it, you know what it kind of feels like?
It's funny because like men will come in the comments, like a specific type of man, not just any man, but you know, like those ignorant men will come in the comments and girls will be like, you don't listen to what the fuck Zoe said. That's not what she said. Are you even listening? Comprehension. Don't apologize to these men. You better say all men. And I'm like, girl, you better root for me. Just everyone, people who do ride for me in the comments, I see it and I appreciate it. Because I can't do it anymore.
And, you know, some people be getting at me in the comments. And
it's they call you a pygmy.
Yeah, which is, you know, I just want to talk about the role that I have here, right? On the Relentless Diaries, which is hosted by Zoe, and she's, I think even in our description, it says, you know, the thoughts of a black woman, you
Relentless
know?
Black woman.
Yeah, exactly,
and that's what the
right?
fuck I am.
And a lot of what we're talking about is, you know, the bullshit that men be doing. And I'm a man, so it's like...
You're here to take the punches.
I'm gonna use an extreme example. It's like we do a podcast about World War II,
right?
And I'm like a Nazi or something.
Oh, Jesus.
It feels like no, and in the comment section, when we have our exchanges, and a lot of our videos are cut, and there's certain lines and certain words that get taken out, certain spaces, and I guess when I cut things where I'm speaking and I ask you questions, you know, questions that I know the answer to.
Right.
But we have a podcast and I like what you're saying and I'd like you to continue going further. So right. It's like, why do you feel that way? So continue and elaborate. And I guess, you know, when that's cut up a certain way, it can look like I'm genuinely asking a question.
People are like, don't fucking ask her that. Yeah. You should be asking yourself that, black man.
And it's like...
And I'm like, yes, bitch, I know that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm on your side. I know it sounded like I wasn't, but even the end where I was like, of our last clip that went viral or got a bunch of views, and I was like, you know, you must be really insecure in reference to black men who can't approach, and they thought I was saying it to you.
Yeah.
Yo, I replied to like 3 comments that are like, yo, why is he saying that to you at the end? And I have to explain, like, they delete the comments.
Oh, Jesus.
So then I got to re-explain it every single time.
Yeah,
it's just...
Yeah. I mean, like I said, TikTok is a different beast.
And then the YouTube comments, there was someone that said, tell Clyde I say hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's funny because we'll talk about your update with you announcing your 365 celibacy. But it's funny because I feel like a lot of women have now looked at it like, oh, he's celibate.
No.
For me, it's kind of like I've gotten like, oh, he's celibate?
So you're like, fuck all these girls.
I'm like, oh,
your hater ass.
Interesting. Ooh, I like that. And I'm like, you like, okay, go ahead.
I feel like I expressed that when we were having the episode too. I was like, I don't think anyone's going to find this appealing. And I still feel that way.
I've heard some women find it appealing.
Well, I appreciate that. Apparently, I'm not good with the bombs, but they appreciated my celibacy story. So, shout out to the Relentless Nation. I appreciate y'all.
But what feedback, like personal feedback, did you get from you telling the world, not the world, but our listeners, our thousands of listeners, that you have been celibate for the past 365 days plus?
I think it's very similar to what I described on the show. Mm. Men are like, yo, go get checked out, bro. Like,
oh, wow.
Not checked out. Like
mentally.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's like, yo, you okay, man?
Yeah.
And then women find it like respectable, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, oh, because I feel like more women have been in that situation where they went to celibacy as a means to, you know, work on themselves. So
do you think women are going to want to crack you now? Like, ooh, let me break it. Let me break his 1 year.
I mean,
they've
been wanting to, but like...
But I feel like more women now might try to come out the trenches. And
I mean, in the 2 weeks.
They might take it as a challenge.
I could see that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I haven't. I would like to see it. You know, I haven't. Monique. But,
you're stupid. I would like to see it.
No, I haven't. And it's funny because, you know, it was an eventful 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Started with that. And I say to the world, our thousands of listeners, that I haven't had sex for a week. And then.
Week.
Sorry, I'm
year.
A year, sorry.
Y-E-A-R.
Days. Not 7 days, 365.
Yeah.
And then the attention from the video that was getting views. And then I had a birthday, you know.
Oh, my God.
And then I had a birthday.
Why didn't you tell me it was your birthday?
I'm supposed to tell you it's my birthday. I got no happy birthday wishes from Zoe.
Oh my God!
No happy birthday wishes.
Oh my God!
Whatsoever. Not even a post.
Stop! I didn't know it was your birthday.
I know. I'm
don't do that. People are gonna think I'm a fucking bitch.
I know. I'm being facetious, like Zoe. Like it was the most low-key.
But you've never talked about your I know. You've never stated your birthday. You've never talked about, oh, I'm doing something for my birthday this weekend.
How many times you text me all the time.
You've
how many
never...
times have I said it's Scorpio season and that we talk about I'm a Scorpio?
Yeah, but
on this show.
How many days are
I
in Scorpio season?
Other Scorpios out there.
How many days are in Scorpio season? How am I supposed to know? Okay, like Clyde was born on this day. What the fuck?
No, I'm being like kind of playful.
Oh, now
about
I feel
this.
Terrible. We should end the episode here.
No, oh my no. No, because, and this is like a thing with men, we don't celebrate our birthdays and stuff, so I didn't really tell anybody. I was so low-key about it that, like, the people who normally wish me a happy birthday, I guess, didn't even realize either, too, you know?
Bro, did you even post anything?
But you know who did?
Who? Shans.
No.
Bianca. And
Shans didn't wish me a happy birthday.
So who wished you a happy birthday?
The woman attached to the story that I...
So the woman.
Not the woman. I remember I said about going on a date in between. Not
right.
Not her. Not that's not who.
Is this the woman who was at the beginning of your celibacy?
Yes.
Oh.
So you know.
She wished you happy birthday.
So yeah, like my ex wished me a happy birthday, but
yeah,
like
as
my
they podcast that's your host okay, did, but so like. Stop because your podcast host also didn't know what day your fucking birthday was. I personally,
I'm joking. You don't need to get this.
Because I feel bad. I talk about my birthday all the time. Soon as summer hits, I'm like summer baby, cancer baby, July 6th. That's my birthday. Everybody put in your calendars. I'm doing this, this, and that. I'm gonna be outside. I'm gonna post a birthday pic. I'm gonna post a birthday week pic. I'm gonna post a July pic. I'm gonna post a before. I do everything for my birthday. Once July 1st hits, my birthday's on the 6th. I go hard for July babies. I go hard for my
whole
birthday.
Podcast.
You yes. You never ever ever. Ever mentioned your birthday or what day your birthday was or if you were doing anything or you never posted, tweeted. Like, no one even wished you happy birthday on Twitter.
I know.
So, like, that...
I can count on one hand the amount of people that wish
that's you. Really sad.
And no, I think it's that, not. I'm okay with that.
That's fine, I guess. Everyone's different.
Birthdays aren't the biggest, like, deal for me. I never really go hard for them. And it doesn't... Like, I'm joking with you being like, yo, you didn't wish me happy birthday.
I still feel bad because birthdays are a big deal to me.
I'm not the person that is like, yo, this person didn't wish me happy birthday.
What day is your birthday?
So I'm not wishing them. I'm not that type of person.
What day is your birthday?
The 14th.
I'm going to remember that. So November 14th. 14th, that is your birthday.
We recorded an episode last year on that day. I remember,
and I probably didn't even know it was your fucking birthday.
Yeah, no, I'm not big on birthdays though. For at least for myself.
Oh my god, now I feel terrible.
No, it's don't feel terrible. I didn't say it to make you feel terrible. It's not how I wanted to start.
No, oh, this is nonsense. People are gonna be like, "What the fuck? Do these two even talk?" We actually do talk all
we
the time.
We do talk. Yeah, we do.
And I didn't know it was this fucking... Well, happy...
I didn't think Zoe would feel this bad about it. Oh, my God.
Well, happy belated birthday. It's super fucking belated. It's like almost a week ago.
I know.
Super fucking belated.
No, it's cool.
Jesus. Oh, God.
I think I wanted to bring it up because of that. Like, why don't men celebrate their birthdays? You know? Why do men feel like they can't... Like, they don't do that?
It's weird because even, like, guy friends that I have, they're always like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do anything for my birthday this year or, like, you know, nothing that's serious, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, okay, we're going to get you a cake. We're going to go here. We're going to go out for dinner. I'm going to pay for you. We're going to get all your friends to pay for you. We're going to get you a gift, blah, blah. But some guys just really don't, like, care about their birthdays.
I'm one of those men.
Like, I was even, like, talking to a guy once, and I was like, what are you doing? It's, like, your birthday. And he was like, yeah, I'm just going to go eat dinner by myself. And I was like, by yourself?
But, you know, like... What the fuck? I feel like I don't go all out. Like, I have the... Like, I saw my family, and that's right. What I want for my birthday. I just want to be around my family, my nieces and nephews, my brother and stuff. And it's not like you know how some people, like, it's their the whole... Someone you talk to maybe once or twice a year will come to your birthday party. I'm not like that person, you know? I've had big events for my birthday. Not events, but I've done things for my birthday. I've gone out and everything. Mm-hmm. And the older I get, the more I'm kind of, it's whatever.
Yeah.
As long as I get some good food and I'm around the people I like.
Oh, that's
scary. Why it's really not that serious to me. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to make you feel bad. I'm not sure if we'll be cutting it out or not, but
yeah, we can keep it. I just, you know, I feel like you have to celebrate. Your birthday is a whole another year of life. It's a whole, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's every birthday is a milestone. So I always feel like when it comes to birthdays, you have to celebrate your birthdays, man. Don't let your birthday just pass and just.
I see tweets like that though. Like, why as a man are you celebrating your birthday?
But that's just bitches being bitches on Twitter. Yeah. I think everyone, man or woman or whatever you identify as, celebrate your fucking birthday. You made it to another 365 days. Some people, a lot of people have never seen, you know, the ages that we hit. So that's, celebrate your birthdays.
And that's very true. Especially, yeah, you know what, Zoe? I think that's very important because I think a big sentiment that has been with the Black community the past, I can't remember exactly the event that's attached to it, but, you know, Black men deserve to grow old.
Yes.
Right?
I know that's right.
And that's, yeah. Is that where Obama goes? Is where I'm fucking
no,
up
on the
No,
it's too late. It's too late. Don't bomb it now. See? That's the timing.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking the. I can be better. I see the room for improvement.
But anyways, so how did that conversation go with her wishing her birthday? Was it like, oh, happy birthday, thank you. Was that it?
It was good. It was pleasant. It was nice. It was a good exchange. Yeah. Wasn't too
Was
much.
It a long exchange?
I'll let you know when it's done.
Oh, you're still talking?
No.
Liar.
No, I'm not.
Liar right now. Are you still talking to her? You're lying. I can tell when you're lying. I might not know your birthday. I can tell you're fucking lying, though.
No, I'm not still talking to her, but...
But it's an ongoing conversation.
It was, and it was pleasant. It was nice catching up. And it's funny, because the last time we talked about not being cool with exes and people that you've been with in the past. And you're saying...
Hold on, wait.
Okay.
Correction. You can be cool with your exes.
Okay, yeah.
You can't be friends with your exes. That's what I believe.
Yes.
Genuine friends with your exes, I don't think is like a real thing.
I think that's fair. But I think for myself, I may have had like a consistent reputation of like not even being cool, you know?
Right, right.
So I liked that it was cool, you know? Okay. I liked the being civil, you know? I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not still going. Like, I was being a little facetious saying that, but we chilled.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I'm glad that you are, you know, receiving great energy and positive vibes from announcing that you haven't gotten your dick wet in 3 months. There you go.
Also, hold on too. A bomb is a bomb. These are gunshots.
Are they?
That's a gunshot, not a bomb.
I think it's bomb. It's giving bomb.
No, a bomb is funk flex.
Oh, that's a gunshot. Have you heard a gunshot? That's a gunshot.
I have heard a gunshot. Yeah, it's not an accurate gunshot. Yeah. I agree with that.
It's very like, yeah. Like does that out, yeah. But anyways, yeah. Our TikTok comments. Anyways, like I said, when it comes to the ignorant black men in there, I don't know if y'all are trying to start a fight, just start a fight. I don't know if y'all actually feel this way. If it is, that's fucked up. I remember one comment that stood out to me was, a man was like, you know, white women will wash my feet when a black woman will give me shit. And
that's
I'm like,
crazy.
That is nuts. First of all, I hope no woman is washing their man's feet.
Washing niggas' feet? What are you, Jesus?
Literally or figuratively. I don't think that's something that I would ever want that trait.
Shorty wants
of
to be
a woman.
Jesus. She's washing niggas' feet.
Yeah. So it's just weird. Like I said, it also, so you were kind of hit the nail on the head where it's like a lot of these ignorant men who kind of feel that way are obviously taking this conversation as, yeah, black women are just, they're not submissive enough and white women will put me on a pedestal and wash my feet and this and that. A black woman just wants to fight. Like, okay, well, if that's really what you think and those are women that you're finding, that's fine, but stay the fuck away from me. Mm. The same way we had a comment on our YouTube post about this conversation
stupid
from last episode,
comment.
And he was like, you know, black women need to take accountability about how they are. Black women walk around with a bitch face. Black women walk around when you tell a black woman to smile. First of all, there you go. First of all, what? I absolutely hate when men tell me to smile.
Yeah.
Some people just have a resting bitch face. I am one of those people. I don't like it about myself. I don't intend to come off with this face, but I just have this fucking face, and sometimes it rests like I hate the world. But
it's
I don't
a rude
hate
thing
the world.
To say smile.
Yeah,
know?
But it's like
I've had managers tell me that at work. Like I hate that. Like
yeah,
ruin my day.
Like don't fucking tell me to smile. So it's like when men like. Obviously, this man or some men who agree with that have like this notion that you feel like because you want to tell me to fucking smile, I should just be like, here's my 32 fucking teeth. Shut up. No.
Entitlement, right?
It's that entitlement. And because what? So you think that white women or non-black women are less entitled? So what? You tell them to smile and they fucking smile on cue?
It's a weird framework to be. Just say you don't like women, you know?
Like, it's so weird to me. Like, all, like, these excuses and all these examples that they're using about, like, white women wash my feet. White women, I hope white women don't wash your fucking feet.
And you know, like,
just for point of being a woman, I don't want any woman washing their man's feet.
I feel like
grown,
you...
Or, like I said, literally or figuratively.
You don't rate somebody if you want... Like, I wouldn't want my partner to wash my feet. Like,
yeah.
That's something that, like... Like, you clearly don't, like, you think of them less as,
exactly.
As a human being if you want that from someone and can accept that. You know,
yeah.
Washing your feet is crazy. One, did you have more on that?
Yeah, I was really upset. Some of the comments is really just like, I'm like, yo, this is, you niggas are literally the problem. Like, and they're like, oh, look at you getting defensive. And I was like, first of all, I literally said in the clip on our TikTok that I'm trying to not be on defense mode when niggas piss me off. Mm. But you are the reason why I get in defense mode because you be saying some stupid ass shit. He was like, oh, well, black women, 70% of black women are obese and this, this, and that. What? There's no obese white women in the world either? There's no obese non-black women in the world either?
The Kevin
Samuels. Like, what
Samuels
are you even, what are you saying? Like, literally, what the fuck are you saying?
You know, one other thing that they said that's very related to what you said, because like I said, right, they get at me in the comments and they kind of just run this pick me narrative about me, right? And this guy says, this is what happens when you have a co-host who just tells you what they want you to hear. The easiest thing for a black woman to accept is black men must be weak. You know, like that's
I never once said that black men must be weak, though.
I know. It's like, where are you? Why did you hear us
where
saying
did you
that,
hear that
and you got black men must be weak out of that? And it's like, I have to respond and be like, nah, this is what happens when I get asked something. Which is, you asked, why do black men feel that black women are unapproachable.
Yeah.
And it's like, the only thing I can assume or think is that you're a bitch ass nigga, is that you're weak.
Exactly.
So it's like, no, you are weak. We didn't really explicitly say that, but no, I'm pretty sure that's what it means. And I ratioed the fuck out of him, so that was cool. And then there's other people that jumped in too that are like, nah, like you're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And like he says,
I love causing a discourse.
Yeah. Yeah. Uncomfortable conversations.
It is uncomfortable. And the thing is, it's just weird that men will just spew, or some men, whatever. I know women hate when I have to like really reiterate when I say some men. They're like, don't correct yourself. But you know, I just do it. But yes, not all men, but some men really just, I don't think they even realize how ignorant and stupid that they sound. Mm. But it's like, it's just, it's nuts. Like, you're telling me that no, like most white women don't have, I've seen white girls with resting bitch face.
Absolutely.
Like what in the world? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's
a crazy pedestal.
Yeah. And then they said that what's it called? Black women only talk to niggas with money. That's also not true.
That couldn't be like,
fortunately, I know some black women with broke niggas, but they love them. And that's that. Period. But I'm also sure that most women, especially non-black women, aren't talking to broke niggas either. So what the fuck? Because like I mentioned before, niggas with money, a lot of them, when they get to that status, the woman on their arm isn't black. So then how the fuck are black women only talking to niggas with money if the niggas with money don't even really look at us?
That part.
Hello? make it make sense.
You know what it kind of is? Like, the comment section is like, you know when you're watching TV and you like talk back at the TV, someone says like, you know, like they're not thinking when they say this, they're commenting it and they don't even, it doesn't cross their mind again.
Bro, and it was funny because also,
remember, that's why people delete comments, because they know they're wrong when
exactly.
They get called out.
Like, and I spoke about NBA, a lot of NBA players not having black wives. There was a Snapchat story. Do you ever get like those random like I don't know, like fucking publications, like Snapchat stories,
yep,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
editorial ones? Yep. There was Snapchat stories like NBA players and their girlfriends / wives. And I made sure I watched the story to see how many of those players had a black wife. And the only players they showed with a black wife or girlfriend were LeBron James, obviously, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul. I'm sure there's other players, but the ones that they highlighted, the three out of maybe like, I say at least 10 or 12 were spoken about.
Shout out to Dirk Nowitzki. He's a real ass nigga.
Yeah.
White.
But literally, they didn't ensure Dirk Nowitzki. But the three that they showed with black wives were LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul.
You know, the rest of them,
the girlfriends were not black.
And it's funny because we're talking about the comments and stuff. And it's like the role I play on this podcast, you know, like I'm a man. So as much as I disagree with some of these, you know, lifestyle choices that these men, I don't want to say I've been there, but I grew up as a man myself, as a male. So I kind of see that pipeline. I see how they got there, kind of. And I've seen this discourse actually recently on Twitter, is that like athletes, especially pro athletes, when they know from the jump that they're going to be in the pros, usually they're 6'8" when they're in sixth grade or something like that. They usually get put in the prep school, the nice school, the school that is going to guarantee them the most opportunities in a good school, or possibly getting to the pros, get them looks at scouts and stuff like that. Oftentimes, that's a school that's a prep school in the suburbs or something like that, or in a gated community. So a lot of these pro athletes who are thrown into these environments where it's just white women, they develop this taste for it. Maybe that's a weird way to put it, but
I hear you.
That is the pipeline. Because, like I've said before, I grew up in Oakville, which is a very white city.
Yeah.
And for a long, that's why I dated white women. There was no other women. There wasn't like a black woman at the school I went to that I could date or something like that. So that's where I was like, okay, I can kind of find the middle ground. But then when I went to university and there was, you know, I went to school downtown Toronto, I ain't talked to a white girl since.
Right.
So once I had access, it changed for me, which is why I...
But these niggas definitely have access now. I mean, like, hello.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I was there, like, I don't know if I would be the same, but, you know, to each his own.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also appreciate the non-black women in our comments who understand what we're saying.
Yeah.
I usually feel, obviously, I love when black women agree with what I'm saying, because it's like, you know, I'm a voice for black women. This is a black podcast, so I'm trying to amplify black voices.
Yeah.
So obviously, I love when black women, you know, agree with me and, you know, shout me out and big me up and follow us, blah, blah. But when I see non-black women do it, I'm like, thank you. Like, really thank you. Because it could be very easy for you to get defensive and think that I'm talking shit. Mm-hmm. But you're really understanding where I'm coming from. So those non-black women who are in our comments agreeing and stating their non-black women also have experience dating black men who they realize don't like black women.
Yeah.
And to those women who are smart, they realize that's a red flag that you only date white girls or you only date girls outside your race. So I appreciate those women.
Yeah, shout out to the allies. That
as something. Or just understand where we come from.
If you're a non-black listener and you listen and you engage with us, shout out to you.
Because I really appreciate it.
You got to be, you know.
Because I feel like sometimes it may come off as, you know, like we're talking shit or we're like getting really aggressive. But it's just, this is our everyday lives and it's something that we deal with. So it's nice to see non-black people understand. I really enjoy that.
I like that too. What I'm going to do though, I'm going to devil's advocate what you just said.
Okay.
Because we're on TikTok and I've seen this one TikTok that said, it was pretty much making this case that the reason racism prevails is because of non-racist white people. Because non-racist white people, allies, in a sense, grew up with a racist family member or a racist friend, and they've learned to maybe look at that as a minor character flaw. They could vote for somebody who's racist and they themselves not be racist, but it's like they can kind of, you know, it's not, you know, a deal breaker for them or something, you know? Or maybe they just had a, you know, they're not getting their own people to unpack, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily fair to say that.
I thought it was interesting. I don't think it's exactly true, but I think it is worth thinking that allies, people who kind of hear racist rhetoric from other white people and kind of don't come back, because isn't that what being an ally would be? It would be more than just kind of disagreeing with them. Wouldn't you have to be like, no, you're wrong because of this, right?
Well, we've spoken about that, right? If you're an ally, you have to be all in, right? You have to have those uncomfortable conversations with your grandmother or your uncle or your parent, whoever it is that may be saying some racist shit, right? There's a lot of people who claim to be allies, but when they see the racist shit go on, they turn the blind eye. You're not an ally. An ally is not a part-time job. An ally is not a part-time, you know, identity or something that, oh, I'm just going to, you know, put up this black screen because I'm an ally and I love black people and I'm not racist. No. Mm-hmm. You have to be full-time all the time, and maybe that means telling your grandma you are racist.
Yeah. Might mean fucking up Thanksgiving.
It might.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would tell my grandparents, like, hey, that's a little ignorant. That's a little problematic.
I've definitely helped my mom and my dad unpack certain things that were problematic, and now they don't think that anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that is a responsibility on, especially like as kids,
right?
For your parents, you gotta start parenting them as you get older a little bit, right?
And it's funny when you talk about unpacking things that are problematic, because so I made a tweet.
Okay.
Not recently, but kind of recently, and it was a response to this celebrity feud that was going on. I don't want to give them much thing. But anyways, you can put it together if you want to. But I made a tweet, and the tweet said, a reminder to women that your baby father is a choice. You have full control over who you want to choose to be the father of your kid. That's what I said. A lot of women agreed. A lot of men agreed. And a lot of women were like, fuck you, bitch. Right? So with me and... I still stand on what I said, because it's like, and some women were like, you know, well, fuck you, bitch. They didn't really say fuck you, bitch, but in my head I read it as fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were like, you know, kind of like, bitch, like, women with no kids have the most to say, like, a reminder to women, like, your baby father wasn't shit when you got pregnant, or your baby father masked the true him and this, and that, and all this stuff. Now, I'm going to very openly say I don't have a child. I've never been pregnant, right? So I'm going to speak to this from me.
Your truth, yeah.
I understand that, yes, people change. And yes, you know, if you have a baby daddy who ain't shit, you know, maybe he could have started off great and then ended up shit. That does happen, okay? So I understand how
niggas are good actors.
Yeah, sure. I understand how that can be sensitive to some women. But do I also think that a lot of the time women ignore red flags when it comes to men and having men potentially be the father of your children? Yes. And don't shake the table now. That was my point, right? And just to say, my tweet was in response to the whole fucking Danny Lay, which is old situation. That was my response. But the tweet just kept going and going, and people just kept saying dumb shit. But I was, people were DMing me like, oh, you're so stupid. Yeah, I have like, because I turned my DMs on, so I can get DM requests now. People DM me like, it's such an ignorant tweet, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, respectfully, I just think that not in all, but majority of situations, I'm sure that you have seen a red flag in this man, but you thought that you were the woman that was going to change him. And you thought that you are going to have this baby and you're going to be together forever. And unfortunately, that was not the case. Red, it's all about, I'm sure sometimes or a lot of the times the red flags are there. And that's what I mean when I say your baby father is a choice. Am I going to have a baby with a man who consistently gives me red flags? Fuck no. Am I going to have a baby with a man who already has three other baby mamas? Fuck no. Am I going to have a baby with a man who maybe has two baby mamas? No. No. Especially if that man is maybe not taking care of his kids. He's doing stupid ass shit on social media. No. No, no, I am not having that baby. I believe in contraceptives. I take birth control every day at 11 a.m. I also believe in pro-choice. I understand some women, it's a sensitive topic. You know, and my friend, I had a, like women and I spoke about this where I was like, you know, sometimes, you know, I've had people tell me like, oh, I would never get an abortion. And then that situation and they have. I had people tell me, yep. You know, yeah. I'm really for abortions. Like I'm pro-choice, and some women who the time came and they couldn't do it. Right. Yeah. So I'm not going to speak on that. Like I've never been in that situation before. So I don't know how it would be. Like I said, I'm pro-choice, but I never really know until you're in that situation. Right. So I'm never going to judge a woman for whatever they choose to do. But do I think that, you know, maybe you should be a little more cautious with the men? Cause not all men can be fathers. A lot of men should not be fucking fathers.
Most men shouldn't be.
Like, it's crazy.
Most people aren't qualified to be parents.
Yeah, and you know what? If your baby daddy did, you know, do a complete 180 on you, unfortunately, that's the hand that you were dealt. You know, that's mm-hmm. just, that's crazy that some men can be so sociopathic that they can just completely switch when a kid is involved. But do I also think that sometimes men do give you red flags before you get pregnant? Abso-fucking-lutely. And in the case of Danny Lay and DaBaby, that man had a lot of fucking red flags that she probably should not have gotten knocked up. Same for Summer Walker and fucking London on the Track, and same for Sierra and Future. Like, these are flags. Flags. If you are baby mama number four, you are not keeping that man, most likely.
Oh.
And I've had to learn the hard way, you know.
Okay.
I used to paint my red flags pink. I thought I was at Six Flags. I thought these red flags were telling me go time. Yes. Yes. I used to love the red flags. I used to shake them in the air with him.
Yep. That's but crazy.
Eventually, you'd be like, yo, this is actually not it for the long haul. And people forget, babies are not a joke. Kids.
It's a human being. The whole life.
I personally agree
18 years.
I agree that having a child with someone is a bigger commitment than getting married. Some people are like, that's
wholeheartedly.
Some people are like, that's nuts. I think I said it on Clubhouse once. People are like, that's nuts. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, me and my baby moms don't even speak. You know, I'm talking about. And I'm like, okay, but you're literally, you have a kid. You have a kid. So you and your baby mom's not speaking. Maybe that's just you being an asshole. But at the end of the day, you are bound to this person because you have a whole other person that's half of you and half of them. You are responsible for this human being. You are forever indebted to this human being that you share with someone else. Forever. Like I said, parenting doesn't stop once your kid hits 18. Mm-hmm.
And you know how the parents hate when non-parents talk about parents?
Yeah. I mean, right? Some people might be like, this bitch ain't got no fucking kids. She don't know what the fuck she's talking about. Maybe that's true.
You know, I found myself in that situation too. You know, like there's situations with my niece and nephew and like maybe I'll develop my own opinion. And it's like, I don't have kids though. I don't know if it's my ground to say this. You know what it reminds me? Like when people are kind of like, well, if you've never done it, then like, how would you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's reasonable logic, but I also don't need to eat a bowl of shit to know that I don't like shit.
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
And I think that's kind of the premise of your argument. I agree with you, and I think you've kind of said what needs to be said.
Yeah, and it's by me. It's just like, you know.
I know it's a tough combo, too, to have.
It is a tough combo, and I feel like a lot of women maybe got offended because they were like, maybe they realized that their baby daddy ain't shit, and then they realized, like, he played me. Mm-hmm. Maybe, unfortunately, the case. But now look back. Were there red flags? And if there were red flags, stay out of my DMs. It's okay to admit that you've painted red flags pink. We've all done it.
Yes, we have.
We've all done it.
Yeah, we have.
But one thing I will say is I didn't paint them pink enough to get knocked up. And that's just it.
Oh, my God. So.
That's just it.
Okay.
That's just my choice. This is like, people are trying to come for me. This is just my choice and something that I have always said when I have a baby, or I'm going to try my hardest to have a child with someone that I'm either in a committed relationship with, like long time committed, or marriage. I understand that those things, you know, don't always equate to a happy story. People mm-hmm. get divorced, blah, blah, blah. But that's something that I would just want a very strong foundation. Like I said, I believe in birth control. I take it all the time. I don't give a fuck. I take it even if I'm not fucking. Because you never know when you might.
I saw something like this.
So, you know, I have friends who take it all the time, even if they're not fucking. Like, bro, bitch, you never know what's going to happen. You never know who you might run into. You might see the block ones. You never know. I am that woman. And, you know, some women, it doesn't work for everyone. You know, they get really bad side effects. You know, it fucks them up. But then use condoms. And, you know, I understand sometimes condoms break, but I don't know. I just feel like, that's just some people, the red flags are there. And like I said, if you're baby mama number four, I can't feel that bad when you realize that your baby dad is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. I can't.
Still love over it. You know what? And you know what's great about that too? Like the whole Summer Walker thing.
What?
What she did recently, right? Like, there's something that Summer Walker did recently.
Tattooed
right?
that man's name on her fucking dome.
First, how do you feel about that?
Stupidity.
Yeah,
clownery. Clown. That bitch, I reposted that bitch's fucking album description about learn from my mistakes, know the red flags, right? I reposted, yes, bitch, you're talking. Now you're going to tattoo a man's name on your dome. Not even on her ass cheek, not even on her back where she can't see it, on her fucking face.
And you said it, so I don't need to, you know. And that's not even exactly why I brought this up. Because there's an element, because we all heard Over It part, still Over It, right? Amazing album, right? And then she goes, like you're saying, like totally went against what she said. You know what it's kind of, you know why there's a part of me that finds it very interesting and almost like admirable? Is that like, you know what street rappers be talking about selling drugs
yeah.
and stuff and crazy street stuff, and then you see headlines of them, like mm-hmm. crazy. It's like, you know, Summer Walker lives her raps.
Yeah.
You know, like she
yeah.
you really be about this life
yeah.
that you be singing about. It's real and authentic, and there's you know, that can be like, oh wow, it's not fake, you know,
yeah.
it's real.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, you know. She's gonna have to be a VeggieTales fan after this.
Oh,
know?
Jesus.
Putting Larry on your, like, you're not getting into the Larry Hoover.
But then he also got Summer tattooed on his face, whoever this Larry man is. Do you know who he is? I don't know who he is.
I don't know, but apparently he's been in the picture since 2014.
Wasn't she with London on the track, though? Confusion.
I don't know. That's what the internet's up in flames about. But this is the thing, though. If she keeps tattooing her head and makes these Over It part two still over, yo, keep,
she's
yo,
gonna,
yo, keep, I want.
If this is I'd all like a it. Part of her career and her trajectory, and she's just going to keep pouring her heart out in the idiot decision she makes and heartbreaks.
I want her to be okay. Like, stay.
I want her to be mentally okay. But if this is your journey to making great music and you are still going to be mentally stable.
I can see. Two, three more great albums down the road.
100%.
You know? You tattoo in your head right after this album. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting more great music.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I saw that.
Yeah.
It's a little sad and unfortunate to think about, but, you know.
But to me, it's like, that's a red flag for both of them. Like, we're both so stupid that we're going to tattoo each other's names on our faces.
Names should only get tatted if they've passed away.
Well, yeah, my dad's name's tattooed on me.
Yeah.
Well, not even like his full name. It's like kind of like a code for his name, but either way, it represents his name.
Maybe not necessarily, because I actually have exactly that too. I have the code for my dad's name
yeah.
tattooed on me too. And it's like, I'll always, you know,
yeah.
love that. There'll never be a time I regret that.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
My ex, my partner, the person I'm seeing.
I don't think I would ever tattoo a man's name on me that's not my father, my deceased father, because it's just, it's no. But it was funny because Miracle Watts is dating Tyler Lepley and she got his name tattooed. But Tyler Lepley's so fine, I understand. I wouldn't do it, but I understand. I'm not judging her. I understand, because that nigga will make you go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He is fine as hell.
I love me some Summer Walker, so I get Larry. I get where Larry's coming from. Larry.
You would tattoo Summer Walker? Well, you're just saying you understand. Really?
No, I'd never tattoo someone's name.
But do you find her that fine that you understand why he would do it? Because I find Tyler Lepley that fine.
I understand. Making me unpack this.
Because I know that I find him that fine that I understand why Miracle Watts tattooed that man's name on her side.
All I'm going to say about the question you're asking, I found her the most appealing during her mixtape and first album.
I found her the most
appealing. I just feel like, you know, some of the things that she did to her physical appearance, you know.
Also, you like the enhancements.
Before the enhancements.
I
found her a lot more attractive. I still think she's very, like, attractive, very beautiful
woman. Yeah.
But to answer
she
your
got
question,
some things done and you're like, ah.
And I hope it makes her, you know, feel, you know, more liberated or anything, but you're asking my opinion.
Yeah, I know, I agree. But like I said, when it comes to these women, it's just like, yeah, the people really ate me up for the baby mama comment. Mm. Actually, like I said, a lot of people agreed, but some women really ate me up. But like I said, that's just my opinion about it. I've been sexually active since I was like 17, 18 years old. I definitely could have gotten pregnant for some stupid-ass niggas. Definitely. But like I said, I take my birth control every day at 11 a.m. because I don't want no fucking unplanned babies. And I don't want no nigga turning up on me when I have a baby or something stupid.
It's a funny space, though, being like a single childless person talking about parenting. It's like being Clyde on The Relentless Diaries.
Maybe, but it's just like, I just feel like it's just, like I said, for women, I remember that your baby, it's a very important choice. Very important choice. So all I'm going to say is, and all in all, to not offend anybody, use your absolute best judgment when it comes to being tied with someone literally genetically and physically for the rest of your life. Use your absolute best judgment. That's what I mean by it's a choice, because I feel like a lot of women who end up in those unfortunate situations didn't use their absolute best judgment, and if they did, blessings are coming.
Those flags can be heart-shaped.
Exactly. Like I said, I've been there. But I don't want to talk too much about, you know, like I said, I've never been pregnant. I'm not a mom, so I don't want to talk stuff on nobody's toes. But I do think that, and even if it doesn't work out, at least you know that you're with a good man. You know what I mean? Or at least you know you have a child with a man who takes care of his child.
What's a good man?
Well, no, I mean, like, some women think because it doesn't work out, you know, all hell went to, like, everything just went to shit.
Yeah.
But if he's still a good father, that's a great thing, right? Maybe it didn't work out between you guys romantically, but if he's still a good father, that's still a win, in my opinion.
You know, that...
Because some niggas will just get up and dip, not see their kid. No, that's where I'm like, I'm sure that man probably had some red flags. The men who literally do not take care of their kids, nothing, I'm sure that there probably was a red flag. And if there wasn't, that's fucked up.
I also just... We'll round out parenting, but I also think there's situations where maybe a couple that realize this relationship between themselves isn't going too well, but they have kids, and it's right. Like, we don't want to, you know, have separate co-parenting situations and stuff like
that.
So
we're going to thug it out together.
And you know what? That's not...
And it ends up hell.
And it ends up ruining the kid mentally.
Yeah, I've seen that firsthand. Yeah.
Me too.
Stop! Yeah.
What else I've you got been, on the list?
But speaking of parenting, Adele's a mother.
Adele is a mother, yeah.
And Adele put her son on her album. And I listened to Adele's album.
Put her son on
her
album.
Her son is on it. Like, she's talking to her son in the song My Little Love. There's, like, parts that she's talking. Her son's not, like, he's not, like, I think he's still, like, fairly, like, he's not infant, but he's still, like, toddler. So he's not, like, talking, but, like, you can hear, like, you know, like, her talking to her son, like, I love you, blah, blah, whatever. In the song My Little Love. Adele doesn't really open up much about, like, her being a mother and all that stuff, but I thought it was really cute. I think this album, she said it was going to be her saddest album.
Mm-hmm.
And the album is sad. Is it sad to the point where it's like...
It's not heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's the not, heartbreak already happened.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. It's not heartbreaking, but it's very like, it's very raw.
Yes.
She's very raw in this album. And I think she's such a beautiful woman. I'm a huge Adele fan. I'm an Adele stan. I think she's just...
You're an Adele stan.
I love Adele.
You listen to 19?
I fucking love 19, 25, like...
Before Rolling in the
Deep. Okay. Yeah, before Rolling in the Deep.
You a stan, yeah.
But Rolling in the Deep, I wasn't a stan before Rolling in the Deep. I listened to Adele, like I listened to little songs, whatever, which was years ago. Like I think I was in like high school.
That's like knowing Drake before Best I Ever Had.
Well, I definitely knew Drake before Best I Ever Had.
I know, but because we're in Toronto.
I see what you mean. But also, yes. But what's it called? I think she's so talented. I think she's just a great woman altogether. I don't know. Obviously, this is just me, just from what I see her present herself. But
watch the Oprah interview?
I didn't watch the Oprah interview.
It was a great just program. It was an hour and a half mixed in with her talking to Oprah, then her performance.
Right. I saw the performance clips, yes.
And you know, Adele really is a one in a million generational kind of talent. Like as far as her vocals, you know, it's there isn't too many people hitting those octaves that she does.
Yeah.
But also like what you're saying about it being like the songwriting, like she kind of breaks down how she made her album, and she was saying how she started a lot of her studio sessions with a 6-hour therapy session. Just her and her producer going through the like really raw, nitty gritty parts about the relationship. Like, oh, this happened, and you know, why don't we pull something from there and make a song from there? So it's like, to me, the truest form of like artistry and like, you know, taking something that happened to you and making a piece of art about it, you know, it was so phenomenal. Adele really is. And I feel like she gets loved for like who she is, you know, like people know how good Adele is. I love the rollout though, you know, especially what she said about TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she really was like, nah, I'm making music for people who aren't on TikTok.
Yeah.
And you know, those kind of people need music. You know, who's making music for moms and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I loved that part. You know,
even though I'm not a mom, I still listen to Adele. You don't either. I love Adele. No, it's good. The thing is, it's like I think I mentioned before, a lot of these songs that I hear on TikTok, I don't realize that they're songs. That's the fucked up part. Because I feel like, at least for me, it masks the artist completely. That TikTok song or that song on TikTok, that Soulja Boy clap, clap, clap song, I had no idea that was Soulja Boy until maybe like weeks after I heard it on TikTok. I'm like, oh my, this TikTok song.
You hear what?
It was like this fucking Soulja Boy. I'm like, oh shit.
You hear what JoJo said about this? Is it fair for a record label to say to an artist like, hey, so, you know, what song is going to be good for TikTok? You know,
right.
Like the labels are making marketing plans around this now and the artists are kind of like.
Well, look how many songs blown up from TikTok.
There's actually artists in Toronto. You ever heard that Wait For Me song?
No.
Anyways,
I don't think so.
If I played the song, you would definitely be like, oh, I've heard that on TikTok a million times. This dude from Toronto is super blowing up. But it's interesting how you can lose the artist.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like that's, it's... So is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I don't know. For Adele, I feel like she stood her ground and she was like, I'm not here to make...
But she's Adele.
Yeah, but she's like, I'm not here to make songs for TikTok and 14-year-olds. Like, she's like, and then she literally said, Tinashe?
Yeah, can Tinashe go, I don't want to do, you know... TikTok and then still sell crazy amount of albums, you know?
Like, does Tinashe even sell albums?
Oh, you don't like Tinashe?
I don't really care for her.
Okay.
I think she had that two on song, but the only reason why that song was good in my opinion was because Drake came on and just slapped the shit out of it.
Fair enough. I just look at someone like
who Tinashe? Listens to the original two on?
With Schoolboy Q.
With Schoolboy Q. Who listens to that? If you have two on with Schoolboy Q and Tinashe on your phone at this moment, you are a different breed.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I know, hit the wrong button there.
Yeah.
But, okay. Okay, fair enough.
Like, that's not even a really good example. No.
No, I think Tinashe is a talented person. She can dance and perform, and she is a decent vocalist, not on the level of Adele, but it's like, an artist like that, let's say, like a Tinashe, kind of, it kind of pushes her off to the side, because, you know, she has to... It's either make or break on a TikTok song. And it's, does that really speak to someone's true artistry? Whether they can come up with some lyrics that you want to make a skit out of in 15 seconds?
Like, no.
It kind of compromises, doesn't it?
It definitely compromises. Okay. It's like the fucking 2C slide.
But then Drake can do that though, right?
Yeah, but I hated it.
Everybody else who tries to make their dance isn't going to go number one. Like, yeah. You still bump Tuesday Slide? I haven't heard Tuesday Slide since that came out. It went number one, and then that was it, because it was Drake. He can make a dance.
Yeah, but he also just needed, I feel like he just wanted to, like, try, like, this TikTok maybe shit.
It was pandemic. He was bored.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, I mean, I'm glad Adele stood her ground, because I would really hate if Adele did a TikTok song or just something stupid that just had to ever ended up on TikTok, or people were just, like, doing dances to, like, that's not her brand. I'm glad that she stuck to her brand and her art and her truth and decided, like, no. But her album was beautiful, beginning to end. I really enjoyed it. I, like,
emotional.
I was listening to it at, like, 12 a.m., like, in the dark in my room. And my sister, like, came in. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? She was like, because you're in the dark listening to Adele. She's like, are you crying? I was like, no. But I understand why they come. But like I said, the album was, it wasn't, I look at it as more raw as in sad. I think she really told her truth. I think she really came out, even though she's always been out of her shell, I think, like, she really, like, came out of her shell. Like, this album basically her just, like, getting naked, but, like, art form.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
Like, this was, like, her
revealing
just, like, you know, the last however many years that she's been dealing with. So I really enjoyed it. But I also feel like, well, from my perspective, my timeline, the day that the fucking Adele album dropped was the same day that weird-ass Sophia shit was happening. And I, like, so I remember that, I don't know what the fuck, people who don't know, apparently there's this girl from Toronto named Sophia, and she is apparently, this is, I don't really know much of the backstory, apparently she's just this regular girl from Toronto, and she ended up scamming,
international,
like,
scammer.
Yeah, she ended up scamming all these influencers and all these, like, known people, and there's, apparently she was, like, sleeping on people's couches and scamming people for money and having flights paid for. I genuinely don't understand how LA works. Because I'm not from LA. I've been to LA a few times, but I'm not in LA culture at all. So I don't really understand how LA works. But apparently in LA, people are just naive, where they are letting random people stay at their homes, and they're giving random people money just because they met them backstage at a fucking Drake concert. Like, I don't know, whatever. I just think the whole situation was weird. And I was listening to Adele, but I was like, bitch, no one's talking about Adele, because everyone's talking about fucking Sophia. All these Twitter spaces were going on, which Twitter spaces, I'm like, what the fuck is this now? It's just, it was a mess. But anyways, that's Sophia's story. I don't really know much about it, quite, so I can't speak on it
for a long period of time. Either.
All I know is from the breakdown is just...
They're saying that she scammed $11 million. That's what
I think that's cap.
That's what the headline says.
Yeah, I think that's
11
cap.
11 M's, like...
That's cap.
But think about it, too. If she scammed people for 11 M's, wouldn't you not be saying anything either right now?
Exactly.
Like, I'd be...
Yeah. Like, what do you expect her to do? Oh, yeah, by the way, that's me. I scammed y'all. Why the fuck would she do that? I honestly don't even think she's a real person. I don't even know how this story came about. To me, it's still fake in my... Because I'm like, yo, what the fuck are you guys talking about? People are meeting her at, like exclusive parties and events and blah, blah, blah. She was saying she dated Jack Harlow. She was a publicist, or she worked with OVO, whatever the fuck she was saying. And people were believing her, cause she was always in, like, these private parties, and she ended up sitting on this people's couches, and people were paying for her flights. Apparently she lied about her mom dying. People gave her like $5,000. I don't know. I just know that all I am understanding from that situation was people in LA need more common sense and need more good judgment when it comes to just meeting people who are in same public high spaces that you are. Cause what?
I think it really shows the dichotomy of, like, a sociopath.
Yeah.
You know?
But it also shows
someone who's, that's like, think about it though. If she did make even half of $11 million off of scamming people.
Yeah.
Like, it does require some, like, exceptional, like, you know, manipulation tactics.
Yeah.
Like, understanding people and stuff. That's why they say sociopaths are kind of have a genius level understanding of people. They use it for evil. It's like using your powers for evil if you're a sociopath. Which is kind of what this girl sounds like, you know? To be able to just lie on a dime to put yourself in these situations is revealing. I'd love to see, like, a Netflix documentary about social media clout chaser scammers, you know? Because this, I think, is prevalent. This is but, Sophia's not the only one.
Yeah. A lot of people are getting at her. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, okay, yeah, we can get at her for being a psychopath, sociopath, whatever the fuck she is. But are we not looking at the people who were falling for this? Like, are these people or these influencers or whatever the fuck content creators, big content creators in LA, are they just so, like, wrapped up in, like, the lifestyle. Do they just trust anybody who's just in this exclusive space?
Is it so crazy
to me? It's like, oh, well, this random girl is at this invite-only exclusive party, so she must be legit and she must be super cool and super rich or whatever. So let me just do anything for her. Like, are we that wrapped up in, like, social media clout and influencer that just because someone's an influencer, you guys have to be like friends and you have to trust them and whatever, whatever.
Have you listened to the actual influencers who got scammed?
Like, I went in and out of the Twitter spaces because like Laurel was posting it. So I would hop in, then like hop out, then like hop in, hop out. But I still, I'm like, bro, I'm like, you guys just sound nuts. Like, oh my God, I let her sleep on my couch and I think blah, blah, blah. That. And I'm like, what?
I think it is a bubble that these people live in. You know, when you're like a influencer and you make money off of people's attention and stuff,
yeah,
like, it's a different life that you're living. So you kind of You think about people differently, you know? And I could see, especially if you are just naturally a generous person, you know?
Yeah.
Me, myself, as a, maybe that's not fair to call yourself a generous person. I'd like to think of myself as a generous person.
Yeah.
I felt bad today because someone asked me how to buy their train ticket and I couldn't help them because I was in a rush. Like, I don't know if I'm buying plane tickets for somebody, you know? Like,
yeah.
As generous as I am, like, there's a limit and an extent, yeah, right? So I just feel like, yeah, these influencers are mad naive because they live in an LA bubble.
Right.
I'm not familiar with LA polys either. So like,
I'm not familiar.
It's something
with
I'm
all.
Speculating on. I think it's just
very weird that it's like, oh my God, I met this girl at a Jack Harlow concert backstage, so I'm going to let her sleep on my couch tonight, and I'm going to give her money tomorrow, and she's going to tell me this sad story, and I'm just going to send her $1,000. Not fucking happening. I don't care how many followers I have. I don't care how much money I have. I'm not fucking doing that. So it's weird that like when people get to like this influencer status where they're like considered, air quotations, famous, that they just start doing like whatever it is because like, maybe other influencers are around or whatever. It's giving weird.
Clout chasing epidemic.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm like, why is no one seeing? Yes, everyone obviously sees the problem with the Sophia girl, whoever she is. Obviously, that's a problem. But why is no one seeing that these other people obviously have a problem too?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. There's naive and then there's naive. Like, come on. Like, I don't care whose party you're at.
Yeah.
Like some girls, like I've been to fucking parties at Drake's house, whatever. Some girls can't get home. I don't give a fuck. What the fuck that got to do with me and my car? What? You know what I mean? Like, respectfully, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I leave with the girls I came with. Where are your friends? You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, oh my God, girl, like, you're at Drake's house. Like, you need a ride home. You need mommy to pay for your Uber. Fuck that. No. Girl, you got invited same way I got invited.
Drake's house, otherwise known as Town Hall.
That shit's fucked up. That is the TikTok. Okay, so let's talk about that because that is the TikTok that I mentioned earlier that I found TikTok and all the comments. I followed the comments for 3 days because I was like, yo, this is fucking nuts. Anyways, my friend ended up sending me that TikTok. She's like, bro, because she sent it to me early before it blew up. She was
before
like,
before it was on 6 months.
Yes, yeah. Before it was on. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, I didn't want
it. Before it was on that meme page or whatever, my friend sent it to me. Stop.
No, that was good timing. Shut up.
My friend sent it to me and she's like, look at the comments. And I was like, bro, I'm crying. You know what I mean? Because it was like, obviously, people who don't know, this girl posted a video at Drake's house, right? Like I mentioned, people already know at this point. I've been to Drake's house multiple times. And that sounded really bad. It's just like, I said, he had like.
Check the TikTok page.
One thing I've never posted.
No, we have the story.
Oh, yes. But that wasn't even at his house. That was at a venue. But whatever.
You can use that, though, maybe as like a guide as how to behave.
It's not even how
when
to behave.
When at the embassy.
It's not even how to behave. It's just hall. Like, I have friends who have been to his house, obviously. I've been to his house. Like I said, Drake has parties. You know what I mean? Yeah. And at the end of the day, Drake has friends that are in Toronto. Drake has multiple friends, like, I don't want to say hundreds, but at least like 20, 30 niggas deep,
he's
you know?
He's in his street.
Yeah. So Drake has like at least 20, 30 niggas that are locally in the city, who locally go out, who meet girls, you know what I mean? Eventually, people are just going to invite people. So obviously, I've met some of the guys in his air quotation circle who invite me to these parties. Fine.
Apparently, they invited the wrong one.
Whatever. Point is, a girl was invited to a Drake party recently at Drake's house. I think it was the time when Dave Chappelle was here because he was at Drake's house, whatever. The girl went to that party and she recorded in Drake's house. And thing is, she didn't record in his house. She recorded in the basketball court, which everyone knows.
That's the first place you go, yeah, right?
Yeah. That, like, everyone knows Drake's basketball court. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so she recorded in the basketball court, whatever.
Because it seems like the first thing
that gets basketball put on the court is really not even his house. Like, it's his house, but it's outside. Like,
it's a separate unit, right?
Yeah, like, it's connected to the house, yes, but it's outside, if that makes sense. Like, you can get to the basketball court without even going through the front door. Like, it has a complete separate entrance. But whatever. They're in the basketball court taking videos, blah, blah, blah. The girl decided to post it on TikTok. A lot of people, majority of people, like 99% of people in that comments thought this girl was unattractive. Unfortunately, I'm not going to speak on what I think of her physically. It has nothing to do with me. It's not my business. But a lot of people thought that she was unattractive. So people were commenting really, 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 really mean things. They were calling Drake's house town hall, a community center. This one girl was like, oh my God, I can get in if he letting y'all in. Like, it was just bad. People were calling them threes. Oh, Drake wasn't there. You know, what's it called? Drake just told his friends to run a trade and they picked all the threes in the city. Like, it was just bad. The girl's braver than me because she kept it up.
Yeah, she
and
did.
And one thing about me is I have really, really, really bad shame. Like, if I feel...
I've never seen you delete a tweet, really?
I've definitely deleted tweets.
You're never in the situation where
but you're not, like, people have never got at me, like, physically. Like, you know, like, oh, like, you ugly bitch. Like, no one's ever caught, like, screenshot of my picture, like, this you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I definitely had tweets where I've said, like, I've spoken about celebrities, and they'll be like, bitch, you're not even bad. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Dial it back.
But, yeah. But, like, that's just, like, a one-off. Even for the TikTok the TikTok that went viral that we posted that I look rough in, people were trying to eat me up in the comments. Rough. I didn't delete. I do look rough. That was one day I did not come here cute.
The ponytail was...
My ponytail was ass. I looked tired as fuck. Mm. I was... Yeah. Anyways, point is, the TikTok still went viral, though. People were eating me up in the comments. But, anyways, point is, I didn't delete it. But they weren't eating me up as bad as they were eating up this girl. Like, no one called me a three.
No, it was me. I remember thinking, like, why are you, and then seeing the comment section and instantly feeling bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, this is.
Yeah. Like, but she kept it up because I think it's a clout thing. Like, it got hundreds and thousands of views. So I'm sure she's going to keep it up because she's probably gaining followers and it's getting all these views, but the
clout
comments
epidemic.
But my thing is like I said, I have a lot of shame. So when people start to, like, really eat me up, it's never really happened. But if anyone were to eat me up the way they ate her up, that comment, the whole video would have been gone. Deleted. Comments would have been deleted. I would have locked the comments off. I would have deleted my TikTok. It would have been a user 5864-7321 doesn't exist. I would be gone. Because fuck no. Like I said, TikTok commenters are violent as fuck.
She brave.
But anyways, obviously the video got more and more traction. People were sending it, posting on Twitter, I posted on my close friends. I was fucking dying. And it ended up on that big Toronto...
That
media
page. Yeah, that meme page.
And they posted it. And I don't follow them, but my friend followed them. And she was like, LMAO, she sent it to me. And I'm like, bro, I can't see it because I don't follow them. And then she screen recorded it. And I was like, fuck. And apparently Drake's friend, his best friend, commented that they were banned from the house. And my thing is, like,
imagine
I said,
Chubb's going to ban you from town hall, eh?
Like I said, most girls in Toronto have been to Drake's house. Actually, let me say most girls, because a lot of girls are like, I've never been. Some girls, majority of girls that I know, actually, I don't know, whatever. Point is, I know girls who have been to Drake's house.
Definitely been talking to some shorties and then seen, like, a OVO, like,
the owl
mat, you know, or something like that.
I don't know, but I've never seen the OVO bathroom mat in his house. I've used the bathroom in his house. I've never
seen
it. Oh, well, he has, like, paintings and stuff, like, really nice paint. He has, like, jerseys and stuff.
I've seen people post he has a toilet that when it opens, it plays Tupac.
I've never been to that bathroom.
Okay,
I don't know. Like I said, the house is fucking massive. I've probably only seen, like, 1/8 of the entire house, to be very honest with you. But one thing I will say, when you're with an artist or in an artist's house and the artist is as big as Drake, right? I'm not saying why would you record, because I definitely have, like, videos, but they've stayed in my camera roll. Like, I have videos from his house from, like, 2019.
Yeah.
I've never fucking posted them. And I never will fucking post them. Because one, no OVO niggas gonna ban me.
What about the Drake party?
The Drake, oh, but that wasn't at his house though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was at the
yeah. That was at some like restaurant. I'm not gonna say the name, something but it was club, at it was at a venue. It was at a venue in Toronto. Facts. But yeah, so okay. That I was like, I didn't care to record that. And also, like, you know what I mean? Whatever. And it was more of me recording my friends, like I recorded like Drake announcing his album, whatever,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like in his house, yeah. Like I, cause then you just look like it looks tingish to me. Like it just
ting-ish.
Looks like
on paper, you're in the man's house.
Yeah,
like, in his
I just feel like I look like recording. A ting, you know what I mean? Like I'm just like I give your phone out, blah, blah, blah. Like even like the video I have from like 2019, I was at like his house, it was like super subtle, just like me and like my friend taking a shot. But even I was like, bro, I'm not posting this because like you can tell we're at like his house.
Behavior.
You know what I mean? It's just like it just felt weird. But like I said, a lot of girls who I know who have been on the air quotations, the embassy premises, they definitely have videos there. I feel like 90% of the girls who have been in his house have either a photo, a video of what a room looks like or
I
whatever.
A personal
definitely.
One myself, if I ever went. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought people definitely have it, but would those girls post it? Like, come on.
You're brave. You're brave to keep it
post
up.
Post it on
those.
TikTok out of all where fucking videos blow up in 3 seconds.
It's
literally 3 seconds. Like, when your TikTok goes viral, like when ours go, I know. Like you refresh it and you go from like 3 views to like 3,000. You're like, all right, this is gonna blow up.
I go shower. It's at 3,000. Come back. It's 10K.
There you go. So like, when one thing about TikTok, their algorithm is fucking insane. Once they know, I don't know who's running it. I don't know what kind of system they have or if it's someone literally sitting.
Hey, the Canadians. Whoever's running it, bro. There's no yeah. creator fund. Anyways.
But it's like I don't know. Who's running it? I don't know if there's actually people sitting behind desks like, okay, let's make this go viral. Let's push this one. Let's push this. Whoever's doing it does an amazing job because they yep. know exactly what's going to hit. And obviously they know exactly whose pages to put it on, where they're going to like it or follow the, because like I said, our podcast literally grew of our podcast was so crazy was because of TikTok and just the algorithm and just them hitting
you be
the
on
right
it now?
People.
Since like we've been posting more on TikTok, do you have like your own algorithm on your personal account?
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't use TikTok outside of our like podcast account.
So since we've been doing it, I've been really like just I've developed my own algorithm and it really is crazy like that because I engage with so much content that is similar to us. And there's just like these people with rants about, you know, things about colorism or misogyny and everything like it. Yo.
Yeah.
It's real, man. Yeah. In the comment section is always, you can post a video response in the comments, you know? I think that's what like, makes these dialogues and these threads crazy because like people tell these story times and part one and two is in the comments everything. I agree that the way that the algorithm is built and the platform gets you puts the things that you want to see in front of you. And that's great. It's amazing.
It's crazy. And like I said, it helps content creators like us. Like we're obviously getting in front of the right people. We're obviously getting positive feedback. So it's obviously pushing our videos to people who want to see what the fuck we're talking about or agree with the things we're talking about. You know, it might end up on a random ignorant person's page, whatever, whatever. But it's funny that like the positive outweighs the negative so much.
But think about that too, though. If you're an ignorant person who always engages with things you disagree with.
It's going to keep coming up.
And you can go and look at certain creators on TikTok. Go look at like they'll put like a almost like a thumbnail like text, you know, sub tag on their page, and it's you can get a very easy, you know, like what they're talking about. Every single quote says something about women or relationships, or it's like, why don't women do this? Why every single one of their videos starts like that, you know? So it's like I always found that, you know, we're talking about clout chasing and everything, the way that people will engage with things that make them upset or that trigger them is very interesting.
Yeah.
And over on TikTok, it's rampant. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's weird because I used to see like a lot of stuff. I don't know if it's because our content's similar, but I used to see a lot of like videos and like content about diaspora. I always pronounced it.
Yeah,
is it diaspora? Diaspora?
This podcast has made me very unsure of.
Anyways, I don't know if it's diaspora, whatever. You guys know what the fuck I'm talking about. But anyways, I got a lot of videos about that.
Yep,
and the one that I saw like fairly recently was I don't know if it's another podcast or another show or YouTube channel, whatever. But they recently had like White Yardie. You know who White Yardie is?
I only found out about him. When this video popped.
Whatever. So he's like a personality comedian. He's white Jamaican, right? it's funny that me being of Jamaican descent, right? Mm-hmm. Like both my mom's Jamaican, my father was Jamaican. Well, my father was born in England, but Jamaican, whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. British. It's stop it. Anyways.
I'm going to cut that.
It's funny.
No,
I'll leave it. You can leave it.
I'll leave it. I got to hold that.
Yeah. It was funny because a lot of people don't know that, like, the word Jamaica means of many one people, right? My grandmother, my grandparents taught me that from, like, young. And they were very, very adamant about us knowing that Jamaicans are not only black. If you ask a Jamaican what they are, they're going to say Jamaican. My father, or my not my father, my grandfather does not identify as black man. If you ask my grandfather what he is, he says he's Jamaican. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but you're black. He's like, I'm Jamaican.
Yeah,
I'm like, but you're black, though. He's like, I'm Jamaican. I'm not black. I'm like, but that's your race. He's like, mm-mm. Jamaican. So
I know Jamaicans like this.
There's a lot of Jamaicans like that. Yep. A lot of Jamaicans, especially in my family, are like that. So, but they also, my grandparents also told, like, a lot, Jamaica means of many one people, which means that there are a lot of different races of people who live in Jamaica. People, we are in 2021. We are damn near in our mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, okay? People are still fucking up ethnicity, race, and nationality. The three major things that people identify as culturally, socially, and racially. Three, people be fucking them up all the time. And to me, it is nuts because it is literally a simple concept. Let's take Zoe, for example. Okay? Zoe.
Hey, Zoe.
Born in Canada. 25 years old. My nationality is what? Canadian. Why? Because I was born in Canada. So nationality is where you were born, what country you were born in, what country you are a citizen of, right?
Yes.
That's my nationality.
But what about race?
My race is black. Nigga, I am black. Black, black, black. That is my race. Race is also white. It is also Asian. That is your race. Fuck, ethnicity. Sorry.
You're so good, you didn't center anything.
Ethnicity is the cultural group that you identify with.
The people.
The people. The cultural group that I identify with is Jamaican. My ethnicity is Jamaican. That is simple. Why is my ethnicity Jamaican? Because my family was born in Jamaica. My heritage is embedded in Jamaica. My ancestors technically came from Africa, but were in or
no, we're
fled to Jamaica.
Years
yeah, whatever.
Ahead of that.
Point. Yeah, my point being, as far back as I can go, my family was in Jamaica. That is my ethnicity. I grew up in a very Jamaican household. I practice Jamaican culture. I do Jamaican things. The first place I've ever been to is Jamaica. I eat Jamaican food. I listen to reggae, dancehall, anything. That is just my ethnicity, right?
Yep.
White Yardie. White Yardie.
Almost sounds like
that man is white. Yes. His nationality is Jamaican. Why? Because he was born in Jamaica. Oh my God. His ethnicity is also Jamaican. Why? Because he was born in Jamaica and that's who he was raised around. I don't consider my ethnicity to be Canadian because I don't have much Canadian culture in me. I was raised by immigrants because they came from Jamaica. So my ethnicity is Jamaican. Some people have Canadian ethnicity, maybe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, the Canadian culture, whatever.
There's people that go to Cactus Club.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyways, point is, that's the three things, right? So I guess when White Yardie was on this, whatever, podcast or YouTube, whatever it was, the video.
I don't know what it was.
They
what
were like,
weird.
They were sort of grilling him to the point where like, oh, like, why do you identify as Jamaican? You know what I mean? Like,
so
do you think it's right that you identify as Jamaican? When did you decide to identify as Jamaican?
Yeah, maybe.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
How are you going to ask someone who was literally born and raised? Well, sorry, correction. His nationality was not Jamaican. He was born
somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't remember where exactly.
A month or two later, was brought back to Jamaica, right?
But a lot of people do that. They have their kids in, like, I knew people who have their kids in Canada, but they take them back to wherever country that they're from. Like, my dad was born in England, right? But his family was in Jamaica, and they all eventually came over. But a lot of people do that.
Now that I think
yeah, a lot of people do that. Yep. So either way, he was born in whatever country, I really forgot what country it was, but it wasn't Jamaica. Then he was brought back to Jamaica as a baby and was raised there ever since. So his nationality is whatever country he was born in. I literally forget. Maybe it was the USA. I don't really know. He was born in that country, but his ethnicity is Jamaican because that's where he was raised. He literally has a Jamaican accent. He only knows Jamaican culture and he's only lived in Jamaica or that I know of in like his childhood. So it's like, how are you going to ask, because this man's white, how are you going to question him about his ethnicity if he's literally lived in Jamaica for most of his entire developing years?
It's some very fake woke shit, you know?
But that's whole like thing. When it
they're
comes to like
they think they're eating, you know?
Yeah.
Like they think they're coming up with some sort of nuanced
And when
point,
it comes to
like
the diaspora...
They're trying too hard, you
the
know?
The diaspora, whatever. The diaspora, diaspora warriors. It's like, you guys are needing... Some of you guys are not even making sense.
Yeah, facts.
Like, you're not even making sense. It does not make sense. At least educate yourself, like educate yourself on the different countries that black people are a part of. Jamaica is a country where there are a lot, yes, majority people are black in Jamaica, but there are a lot of non-black people in Jamaica. My great aunt is literally Chinese.
Yeah.
Chinese Jamaican.
Yeah.
Chinese. You see her, she looks like an Asian woman. My uncle's wife, she's literally Chinese. She is Jamaican, though.
Yeah, that's her ethnicity.
So if anyone would ever look at her and be like, when do you identify as Jamaican?
You know.
What?
That's why it's weird, too, because it's like, if you hear white Yardy talk, even for just like a minute or two, like, doesn't that verify it right there? Like, doesn't he really, because you ever seen someone, a white person, culturally appropriate Jamaican culture? Like, they can't pull it off as well as white Yardy.
It's nuts. But exactly, but the thing is, white Yardy, he's...
They wouldn't sound like, I don't want to say pull it off like white.
Yeah, because he's not even pulling it off. That's literally what he is.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's weird.
It's interesting because like, I don't know, this is something I'm familiar with. I'm Trini, right?
Yeah.
And Trinidad, there's a lot of like, it's almost like half like East Indian looking people.
Yeah.
Like there are people that look black, that look, you know, African or whatever, African American, like, you know, like black people, whatever you think. And then there's
African American, just black.
Yeah, sorry, not African. Like, African. I'm not even
gonna. You're gonna sound like those. Go
no,
ahead.
I don't want to go
there. Go ahead.
I don't want to go there. But, like, I saw a TikTok about this, about an Indian looking woman, and she's Trini, and just like, what? How can you be from Trinidad? Doesn't that mean you're black? And it's like, nah, I can be Indian from race and ethnicity beating y'all ass.
Race, ethnicity, and nationality be beating people's asses. Like I said,
the way that diaspora,
race
diaspora
is
be
your visceral. Yes, literally. Yeah, diaspora. I don't know. Someone can correct me at whatever the fuck I'm saying.
Someone let us know, please.
But like I said, race is what you visibly identify as. It's visible. You can tell when someone's white. You can tell when someone's black, Asian. It's those physical characteristics that identify race, right? It's a social group, social construct. Nationality is literally the country that you were born or a citizen of. You can have multiple nationalities.
Yeah.
Like, I could get my British nationality because my dad was born there, which I probably have to do. But I can be nationality born in Canada, but I'm also a citizen of the UK, right? And then ethnicity is literally the group that you identify with culturally, that you were raised in culturally. You do practice cultural practices with that ethnic group.
And then, I don't know, the deeper, like iceberg part of this, like, whole conversation then is phenotypes, right?
Yeah.
You know, are you familiar, like, with phenotypes?
Sort of.
It's kind of like race. It's like what you, like, look like. They say that being whiteness is not a race. It's a phenotype. If you look white, it's because you're white. It doesn't matter where your parents are from or anything like that. That is I'm repeating something. This is something I've heard. I don't want people to, that's not exactly, this is something I learned recently.
Okay.
About whiteness being a phenotype and not actually a race.
Interesting. I have to Google that more.
I need me too, but I think it's relevant to what we're talking about. I'm not kind of putting my foot down on what I think about that. Anybody listening? It's just something that, like, when we talk about diaspora, diaspora, and we got to figure it out for next episode. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
Well, it says the term phenotype refers to the observable physical properties of an organism. These include the organism's appearance, development, and behavior.
And they say because white people, you know, you can be Irish or all these different things. You know, whiteness is not right. A race.
But what?
This is like the recognizable traits.
Yeah.
This is what they, like, this is kind of the narrative.
I need to, someone needs to explain that to me better. Yeah. But I don't really. So they're saying that, phenotype isn't a race?
I guess it kind of reduces, like, you know how it said organism? It doesn't really apply to just people. It's like anything, you know, the physical attributes.
Right.
And they, you know, if you really break down, like, whiteness and stuff like that, they say people originally weren't, like, white. The reason that people are white and lack melanin is because they migrated further from the equator.
Right.
These are things I've heard. Like, I'm literally repeating things that I haven't researched well enough at this point, so I don't want to go too much farther with that. But, yeah.
Interesting.
The way I've seen that explained to me is that white people aren't supposed to exist.
Interesting.
The reason they exist is because of migrating further from the, and having a hegemony in society, so.
That's a very interesting
But we
argument.
Should research more of this before we kind of solidify an opinion about it.
Yeah. I think, yeah, these, like I said.
Interesting though, right?
Very interesting. But these diaspora wars or whatever, they need to stop. Because it's getting, black people are starting to sound uneducated and it's not making sense. Like, it's not making sense. And I just don't understand how they had that man on that platform. And decided to ask him when he decided to identify as Jamaican. That is nuts to me.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't even really do their homework or even, like, know about him. It's like they're trying to, like, catch him. Like, they're trying to, like, Rachel Dolezal him.
Yeah, they're trying to this-you him.
Yeah. Like, really. But it's like, no, that's not how this is going to work in this one.
You could tell they got together and was kind of like, okay, we're going to try and press him this way, and he'll get defensive. And he never did. Like, you know, everything they tried to do didn't
He did
work.
Hold it together very
like,
well.
I really commend him for that, because that looked, that made me so upset, like, hearing them talk down to him like that, and the fact that he.
Yeah. It's weird. Like I said, when it comes to, like, Caribbean culture and African culture, like African American culture, which is also very different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. Like I said, it's the diaspora wars of, like, with black people separated from Africa, and you have Caribbeans and African Americans and all this stuff, and the wars about who's right and what culture means and this and that. It's just weird. And even, like, someone said, people are jealous of African Americans and African American culture and all that stuff. And
I wish you told me we were going to do this.
I mean, I don't want to really get into it. One thing I will say.
I'd like to have another
I definitely completely, wholeheartedly, 100% recognize and know that African Americans have their own culture. It's not even a question.
And that,
I'm friends with so many African Americans that they definitely have their own culture.
And that people appropriate it too, right?
100% people appropriate it. But
we'll run with it too. Like, Canadians, you know, there's a lot of things that American black people do. That's
what I'm saying.
With.
But with us, it's like Canadians, black Canadians don't really have a culture. Like I mentioned, when I say ethnicity, I identify as Jamaican, right? Because as a black Canadian, I don't really have culture in Canada. There's no black Canadian culture. Most black Canadians are immigrants. There's a few maybe out in Nova Scotia who are considered, like, indigenous, but most black Canadians are immigrants. So when it comes to African Americans have been in America since slavery, right? Literally most African Americans, all they know is America. So of course you have your own culture, African American culture, because black Americans literally built America.
Yeah.
Like, you were brought to America and built it.
And cultivated an amazing culture.
Right?
It's just, I you know, when these conversations happen, I feel like it's that.
But and they can't, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
They can't look at us and be like, y'all are mad because y'all don't have black culture. It's like, well,
that's
bitch.
What bothers me is that it's rhetoric that sounds like a white American, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, because at that point too, and this is why I don't want to get too deep in this, but it's like, as an African-American person who was disenfranchised, you know, and you're in this country and you don't know where you're from and stuff like that, why I struggle with understanding the pride in being American, like patriotism, you know?
Like, well,
when Black Americans are proud to be American, like, this country was so bad to you guys. Like, yeah. why are you defending against other Black people from other countries and like getting into that argument when it's like, yeah, you have this culture that's amazing that other people, but that isn't also to say that we're not included.
Yeah.
A Jamaican man isn't mostly responsible for inventing hip hop. DJ Kool Herc, who was a Jamaican man from New York. That isn't to say that the first NBA game wasn't played on College Street.
Yeah. Know,
or something like that. Or invent the game of basketball invented by a Canadian.
Literally invented by a Canadian.
So then when we hear that rhetoric of like, you're jealous and everything, like, yeah, it rubs us the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, do I really like American culture? 100%. Absolutely. I think American culture is dope. But it's like to say that, like, you know, like all you guys or other non-Black Americans do is like try to copy American or Black American culture. You guys don't have your own culture. It's like, well, to be honest, being in Canada, everything that's given to us is American. Like American media is what we usually take in. American musicians, American TV. And honestly, Black American culture is the dominant culture in America. Like straight up.
Yep.
Black American culture, African American culture is like the dominant culture. And it's dominant culture mean that it is used in media most in North America, especially in Canada. A lot of the media information, a lot of the media art that we get is Black American art.
So to their credit too, I could see how that would make you feel a way too, right?
Yeah.
As a Black American, like you see yourself everywhere, but yet your country was so shitty to you,
yeah,
you know, like that,
like literally like the system, yeah. Well, technically the system wasn't built against you because the system was never, I saw someone say you can't say the system was built, or you can't say the system is used against you because it's never built for you. Like the system in America against Black people, you can't say it's against the system. The system was never built for Black Americans.
Still isn't, really.
To this day. So you can't even say this is what happens when the system fails you. The system was never for you. It was never built for you, unfortunately. And that's how it is. But
that's why it's like, why defend that system against us?
But I understand it's their culture,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't use it as, well, all you guys do is copy it and all you guys want to be us and you guys don't have your own culture. Well, I mean, technically, outside of me being Jamaican, all I really know is like a lot of African-American or American culture because we get so much American media. So much American media. You think anyone watches fucking CFL? We watch NFL. We watch NBA. We watch American award shows. We listen to a lot of artists, American artists, even despite the whole law in Canada that a certain percentage of like artists need to be Canadian to be played on radios.
Yep. Yeah, that is a law. Yeah.
Despite that, dominated by American artists. So it's like, of course, we're going to start to reflect or like absorb some of that culture because it's literally everything that's available to us.
And there's evidence of us like absorbing that culture.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine pop culture and pop music in general without Justin Bieber, The Weeknd, and Drake in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and pop culture can be considered American culture.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's why it's
a lot of pop culture is Black American culture.
That's why this conversation really is a gray area. You know?
Yeah. But I just feel like you can't really use that against non-Black Americans.
I think it's logical, but it doesn't seem constructive.
It's not constructive.
Yeah, like where are we gonna get from that point and that sentiment and you constantly saying that, you know?
Y'all so mad you don't have a culture. It's like, what? I mean, I do, but it's not connected to my nationality.
I can't say that I have Canadian culture, but to say that I don't have culture.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked
true.
Up.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, it's the diaspora. Literally, someone correct us because I'm tired of saying both. I imagine both are wrong. I don't fucking know.
We need a racial identities professor to come in here and let us know the real professor.
A racial identities, like a sociologist.
African American study. What is it called when you study Black history in school?
I think it's African
American studies.
think it's African studies. Because I know there was African studies.
I took a class called African American Studies that was specifically about, you know, Americans.
Yeah.
Like Black Americans, you know, their whole history of that.
Yeah, I know there was African studies when I was in university. So I think, yeah.
Was it taught by a white person?
No, it was a Black woman.
My African American Studies class was taught by a white woman.
How'd you feel about that?
Did
it make sense? Was she a good prof?
I remember it almost felt like I was vetting that class. I was so like into it, like it was like very about like, finally I'm paying all this money for education and I get to actually learn about Black people while I'm in school, you know?
Yeah.
And I was very engaged with the class and
yeah.
I had a lot of questions, a lot of things that I wanted to, and this teacher was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable. And didn't seem to center herself. Mm-hmm. And make it about herself or whiteness or anything like that, or try and, you know, she didn't seem like she was auditioning for a cookout, invitation.
Mm-hmm.
But even so I liked like, it. Yeah.
Yeah,
but even it like, is weird, you know?
I feel like it would be weird. And like, even like I'm pretty sure I mentioned this before, in episodes on the podcast. Fuck, I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh my God. You were talking about,
professors, white professors teaching about African American studies, African studies.
Lost it.
No, I suck.
I have no remember. Fuck. It'll come back to me.
That rosé.
I know, the rosé is hitting. I did, no.
That's very common though. Like white people teaching African studies classes.
Yeah. Oh, what I was gonna say was, yes, even when it comes to like teaching and like history of Black people, I think I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, even when we learn about Black history, it's always American Black history. We rarely learn about Canadian Black history. A lot of the major figures that we learn about in school is like Black American historical, like Martin Luther King.
Bro.
You know what I mean?
In Canada.
Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks.
All February was watching Hotel Rwanda and you write a paper about it.
I didn't watch Hotel Rwanda until grade 10 or 11.
I just remember for 4 years of high school.
And I watched in World Issues.
Every February, that was like,
really?
That was
but the Hotel Rwanda's not even, that's genocide. It's not even
to
like
them,
Black
was,
history.
That was the,
I mean, it's Black history, but it's not really like not from like slavery. That's literally African genocide. What Rwanda was, Hotel Rwanda.
I know, but like it was the only thing they ever touched on in high school for me. Like that's why I really wanted to learn more. It's like, man, this is, you only learn about, well, that's not American history, but the only history I learned about was African conflict.
Genocide.
Yeah.
Not even like African genocide.
So when they do teach you, it's about how you guys hated yourselves, you know? Like it doesn't give like an accurate perspective, you know? All I hear about is how there was a conflict between other Black people, other Africans.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily say hated themselves, but it
was... Not hated themselves, but I'm just saying...
It was like a...
You don't learn about
a colonization huge issue that... Yeah. Technically, it was done by white people, the genocide, but, you know...
That's what I'm saying. It's like, they don't say any of that. It's all about, oh, you see how nasty you guys... That's how it felt,
white people inflicted it, I should say. Mm-hmm. Definitely inflicted it. But that's fucked up that they used Hotel Rwanda as a...
I remember it being a staple. It's like, all right, February.
Hotel Rwanda?
We're going to have an assignment based
on... Not even like an MLK documentary or like a...
Sometimes it wasn't even Hotel Rwanda. It was just that conflict, the Rwandan genocide. Like, that was the only thing they ever talked about as far as Black history.
When
I was in high school, I went to York Catholic High School and Halton Catholic. Those school boards. So whoever's dictating what those curriculums are for history and Black people and everything just thought that conflict was enough and... covered the whole bases.
That is weird.
Nasty.
That's really weird.
It's not cool.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless, even to go off my point, a lot of Black history we learn is African-American Black history. So like I said, it's constant. Like I said, we're like sponges absorbing Black American culture from what we're taught in school to the music that we listen to, the TV that we watch, the movies that we see, you know what I mean? So it's like, not unfortunately, but I mean... We just kind of click onto it. It's not really, I don't think we really appropriate it.
But also though too, right? Like,
I mean, maybe some people do. I'm not going to tell people how to feel.
We spoke about it a little bit, but Dave Chappelle was here and there was a video of him giving this speech in Drake's crib, right?
Yeah.
And He was speaking about Canada. I think he said something along the lines. He was like, I'm at a nigga's crib in Canada.
Yeah.
And just the way, you know, Dave Chappelle is like deep and philosophical. Yeah. And he's like, this was the finish line, you know, for slavery and everything. Because the Underground Railroad and all these things. I mean, so it's like, there's history.
Yeah.
There's things we should know about.
There's definitely stuff that we should know about. Like I mentioned before.
That isn't mandated for our educational curriculum.
Yeah. You
know? But
it's just, I've never really learned about most like influential Black Canadians other than like the Viola, I forgot her name.
Viola Davis.
No, Viola Davis is the fucking actress.
Viola Davis is the actress. What?
Oh my God.
Viola Desmond.
See, yes.
I still know who it is.
Viola Desmond. She was on her. She was on the $10 bill. But she was a Canadian rights actress. But like I said, I don't remember ever learning about Viola Desmond in school. I learned about her after when they started talking about putting out the $10 bill. And then I had to like do my own research. I don't remember ever learning about Viola Desmond.
I mean, really?
No. Everything I learned about was like Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King,
you know,
Malcolm X.
I remember, you know what, Kay, I'm talking all this shit about not learning certain things in high school and stuff. Not that this was part of class or anything, but I remember in assembly during February when I was in grade 9 or 10, and they had a play, like a skit of Viola Desmond. They called her Canada's Rosa Parks
because yeah.
she went to a movie theater, I believe it was, and sat in the whites section.
I think so, yeah, something and like that, yeah.
That was her plight. And I remember them doing.
And she's from Nova Scotia. Oh my God, we have the same birthday.
Wow, she a Cancer too.
Okay, girl. Well, she was a Cancer. She died. R.I.P.
R.I.P. But why are you laughing?
Because you said she is. Laughing? You said she is, and I said she died.
You started laughing after you said she died.
Because like it's like I didn't mean it. Like, I just said like.
I know. I'm being a dick.
Like fuck off.
Shout out Viola Desmond. I briefly they.
R.I.P.
We're both
you keep
back.
Saying it like she's here.
R.I.P. Violet.
Thank you.
We didn't handle that properly.
Not at all. That was absolutely terrible, but people know what we meant. But anyways.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. The wars.
Everything that's been going on the last 2 weeks. The wars. Not Twitter finished. Spaces.
Yeah.
Diaspora. Diaspora. All of it. Baby mama drama. Me pissing off baby mamas.
Comment sections going
comment
crazy.
Sections.
Me being off time with my bombs.
Yeah. We'll work on that, though.
Yeah, we got it.
I think,
thank you for the, you know. I was
thank
a
you for the constructive
was
criticism.
A little sensitive at first, but, you know, I need to hear these things.
Very sensitive. But I just, yeah, I mean, like, we'll continue to get, I mean, as when we grow, we'll continue to get more comments, and people are going to continue to whether agree with us or disagree with us on things that we say, but that's just going to come with having a bigger audience, right?
And speaking your truth, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of said, you know, the last podcast, you know, you really, like, speak your truth on this thing. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's why it is a thing, and it's why people enjoy hearing you talk, because it's unfiltered, it's raw, it's authentic, and people can get that from you.
And I think...
You don't need the validation, I know.
Yeah, and it's just, just don't ever tell me to smile if you see me. Don't do that. If you see me, do not tell me to smile. Smile, sweetheart. Don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's that sense of entitlement. And I want, because Black women are my focus on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I want Black women to really understand that when it comes to these men who think that we should be washing their feet, and apparently that's something that white women do, and I don't think that's true, but... That just comes with ignorance.
My mom's never washed niggas' feet.
I would hope not. Because your mom, she's like a really nice lady. Aww. And I really hope she does not wash any man's feet. Nigga or non-nigga. Do not.
That's so weird. White women wash niggas' feet.
Yeah, like that comment, I was like, what the fuck? What
I never saw fuck? That.
He literally said, he was like, a white woman would wash my feet, but Black women always want to fight or argue or put up a stink or whatever. And I'm just like, what? That's weird, because isn't there like a rhetoric that like Latina women are so fiery and crackery and crackery, are so firecrackery and...
I got it. We know what you mean.
Yeah. Anyway, like they're so fiery, and they love when Latina women get mad and speak in Spanish, and they're so sexy, but like when a Black woman cusses, it's like, what? Oh, I don't want to fucking deal with her because she's mad all the time. But when a Latina does it, it's like, she's so fine because she does it in Spanish.
Yeah, that's...
Like if I cuss you in Pato, am I fine now? Probably not, because it probably sounds too aggressive.
I mean, it depends who you are, but...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Ew!
Anyway.
Don't do it. I thought you were going to do the bomb.
I didn't! Did it! Podcast, so...
I'm going to be on, like, bomb patrol now. Like, don't fucking do the bomb.
I said we might need to get guests their own sound effect buttons and stuff. I think you may need your own.
No.
You need to be on bomb patrol.
I might. Maybe I should start. Maybe next episode I'll be on bomb patrol. I think next episode might be our last episode of this season.
Oh, yeah?
I think because, yeah, that will bring us to December 8th, unless we go to the 22nd, which is really close to Christmas.
That is.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, we will see. You'll know the next episode.
Exactly. But that's all I had to say today. I think I got most things off my chest. People don't come for me if you're mad about my baby mama comments.
Don't tell her to smile.
And don't tell me to smile. And black women, stay beautiful. And black men, y'all stay beautiful as well. The ignorant ones,
Fix up.
And we'll leave it at that. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Keep following us. Keep subscribing. Keep following our TikTok and making our videos go viral. And
keep cussing out all the ignorant dudes in the comment section.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Stop. I know I said I'm going to stop being on defense mode. I realized that maybe I'm not going to do that because I'm going to be on defense mode when I feel disrespected. So with that being said, if you are a black woman and you feel disrespected, you're allowed to be on defense mode.
Facts. I like that.
And I don't think that we should try to make ourselves be more submissive, or I feel like we shouldn't have to make ourselves be more delicate. I feel like we are delicate in our own way and we are beautiful in our own way. And with our defensiveness comes strength, right? And comes resilience, and then comes with being relentless. And that is what I want every black woman to recognize. Yeah. So now when these niggas are like, oh, she's too opinionated, blah, blah, blah. Keep being fucking opinionated.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like girls were saying, it's not about us being intimidating. They are just intimidated.
Mm.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I think about it, no. I'm going to keep doing exactly what I'm doing. And black women do not need to take accountability for you feeling like we're unapproachable. That's not how this works. That's not something to be accountable for. Because we're not unapproachable. But you think that we are. Why do I have to be accountable for something that you think or you're projecting onto me?
Weak ass niggas.
That's weird. I shouldn't be accountable because I'm approachable as fuck. If you're respectable, I'm super approachable. I'll talk to almost anybody. I'll talk to an ugly nigga if I want to. I won't go home with you, but I'll talk to you in the club. Throw you a little, how are you? Having fun tonight? Ha ha, kiki. I'll do it. I'm not a bitch. Ray Tay Tay. All that shit. I'm not a bitch. I will entertain you. I'll fancy you if you're respectable and a nice gentleman.
Mm.
But
moral of the story,
do not project me being unapproachable because you are intimidated by my presence. That's not how this is going to work. I'm not going to take accountability for me not being something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on that.
That part.
And that's how we're going to end it.
Like Zoe mama, I go relentless. What up, Zoe? Relentless. What up, Zoe?